Praise God. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're going to get into the Word. And Father, I ask that the Holy Spirit help me to get the understanding of how important it is to understand faith. And I pray that whatever I say will click in the hearts of your people so that they can take full advantage of what your Word has disclosed to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about faith, the subject of faith, due to the fact that many of us presently might be going through tests and trials of life. And the only requirement to receive the tests and trials of life is to be born here in this fallen world. And so it's good to understand how to function when God has put you on a journey since you've come into the household of the Lord Jesus Christ. And did you know you're all on a journey? Amen. You might not feel like you're on a journey, but you are. Praise God. If you get up in the morning and you go to work or whatever it is that you do, you're on a journey. Praise God. And the exciting thing about it is you woke up with Jesus. He's a part of your journey. Praise God. So, according to 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says that our faith should not be compared with others. That is a big problem with a lot of believers' faith, is they compare it with somebody else. Second thing that we need to understand is verse 15 of the same 2 Corinthians 10, that faith has an increase. Faith is not to be understood to put on a shelf that when you need it, you pull it off the shelf. Faith grows in the heart of a person. We also said, according to Romans 10:17, that how the kingdom of God comes to you through your ear gate. This is how you receive from the kingdom of God. Then faith is the results of what you heard. And that's what we call the God kind. And God will see to the speaking. He left us his word. And you're responsible to its outcome. What you believe is your faith. Now, we're going to learn some neat things here this morning. I'm going to try to, best I can, to go through it systematically so it will help all of us to understand our faith today. Again, God is responsible for his word. You're responsible how you choose to receive what you hear. Very important. Very important. We also covered the fact that little faith is lacking confidence. It comes up with two words, small or puny persuasion. And the Bible talks about having little faith. Matthew 6:30, Matthew 8:26, Matthew 14:31, and Matthew 16:8. This talks about, O ye of little faith. And we thought that if we had just little faith, we could move the mountain. Off of that statement, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you should say to this mountain, move, and it should obey you. You know, a mountain, if you look at a mountain, the first thing that comes to your mind, how can you move that mountain? That would take a lot of construction work. It's beyond my imagination to see a mountain move. It's impossible for me. And that's why he said mountain. He wanted to make sure that you understood that your faith can come up against a situation that is immovable to your natural mind. But the thing that we forgot is not, it is not the mustard seed that moves the mountain. It is the full-grown seed of your faith that moves that mountain. You see, and people always seem to think, if I just have a little bit of faith, it can move that mountain. No, it won't. It says, as a mustard seed, when it grows, he tells you, when it grows up, it comes into a big tree, and then the birds of the air can nest in it. They can take advantage of what you've grown into. And so he wanted to make it very clear that the quality of a mustard seed has to come to full growth. And so we don't think of that way a lot of times. We think of faith, the message of faith, just when something happens to somebody, you better be in faith. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you're facing a test or trial or not, your faith should be in the process of growth. All the time. Amen. And so I wanted to get that thing across to you. I've learned the hard way. Now, I want to share some things with you. I want to share some verses with you that are very important. I'm going to read them to you. You can write them down and read them for yourself later. And I'm going to read out a New King James Version for you. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Now, I want you to pay attention to, because if you get a hold of this, it's going to help you like it has me. You know, I was out at the shooting range yesterday with Tristan and his little buddy friend. And they have a trench that in the pavement area where you shoot from on the bench. And there's a little crevice there, and mud has built up into that crevice. And I stepped into that, and my foot lodged in that little gutter thing. And it was full of mud, and it sucked up around my foot, and I couldn't move. And I tried moving, and I found that my foot stuck, and then it went squawk like that. And the next thing I know, I'm rolling, so embarrassed. I'm rolling head over heels under the ground, and Tristan's little friend comes up. Oh, are you okay? Are you? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I got up, and he looks at me as to say, how old are you? And I said, boy, that's embarrassing, but thank you for wanting to help me out. He says, how old are you? I said, I'm 75. And he looked at Tristan, he said to Tristan, he says, my grandpa is 55 and he can't move like he does. And Tristan says, yeah, I know, he's in pretty good shape. So the reason I said that is I have believed God for my health. And I've always had my physicals every year, and whatever they want me to check up and check out, and I'll do it and everything. But I'm always trusting God, especially when you get older, you trust God a little bit more in your diets, what you eat and what you don't eat and so forth and so on, you know. But there is a maintenance that you should take care of yourself. You should take care of your health and so forth and so on. And so I'm getting better at it. I'm venturing out beyond peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So I'm getting better at it. But I said all that to say this, that you'll always find that you make mistakes in your journey. You're not going to be on your game all the time. I certainly was not on my game all the time. But along the road of time, things did crop up in my life where it required my faith to remove them. And I was successful at doing that. Praise God. I want to share these scriptures with you because I want you to get a hold of something that I had never seen before. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Watch this. Saved through faith. This is a New Testament verse. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's Ephesians 2:8. Out of that New King James Version. Now, I want you to catch this next verse. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Pretty interesting, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, this is what Lonnie was touching on in the men's breakfast. And then the third verse I want to talk to you about, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. So it tells us here that every one of us started out with the same measure of faith. And so I was asking the Lord one day, what measure did I get, or that we all got? And so I started reading these verses before and after to try to locate it. And something happened to me that I had never seen before. And we talked about it last Sunday. If you will, I want you to turn over to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. And I've been seeing this for some time, but I didn't really know how to put it into words until the Lord, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, was showing me some things. Notice in Galatians chapter 3, go to verse 22. But the Scriptures has confined. This word confined means literally encompass something or put it all together that was spread out. But when he said confined, literally means he brought everything to a conclusion under one thing called all under sin. And it's singular there, which means the sin nature that we all inherited from our first birth. Physical birth. Now, there's two types of ground that resides within this, the outward ground and the inward ground, according to Mark 4. And we know that, and I've been teaching this to you, that the inward ground is the spirit of a man that's born again. And this seed, God's word, its seed, it has to go into the good ground in order for it to produce. It cannot produce in the outward ground. See, and I didn't know that for years. I didn't know that until I finally got a hold of the understanding of what it means to be born again. And that was through my friend Dave Roberson. He taught that series. I'll never forget when I went to his conference there in Tulsa. And I went into his office and said, "What are you going to teach on, Dave?" And he said, "I'm going to teach on born again." I went, "What? What? Everybody knows you're born again." You know, I thought, well, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. And when I got into that service and he began to teach born again, it was the first time in my life I really understood what it meant to be born from above. I never knew what it meant to have the seed of God planted in me to grow into the image of Christ. I never understood that. Matter of fact, I even got more revelation to come, but I'm going to share that with you later. But notice what he says, but the Scriptures has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ, watch this, might be given to those who believe. Now this next verse is a kicker on you. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we were no longer under a guardian or tutor. Now, do you know why the world hates the Ten Commandments? They don't like it inscribed on monuments before buildings. Remember the big fight they got about the Ten Commandments before this building? And they were arguing. And you want to know why? Because the Ten Commandments is meant for a non-believer. That is what a non-believer produces in his life. Covetousness, adultery, fornication, you name it. And natural man. And when you point that to his face, he knows that he does what he does, and he don't like God telling him what to do. because he's not born again, there's no good ground in him. His inner man is joined with his outer man. He don't even have any identity until he gets born again. Now, this is what got me. But after faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. Till after faith has come. Now, we read all those scriptures talking about each one of us getting a measure of faith. Are you guys with me? Then what does it mean here when he was talking to the inhabitants of the province where he established four churches, and the Jews came in there and tried to get him reconverted back into Judaism while receiving Christ? What was that area? Because the Judaizers wanted the converts of Paul to revert back to Judaism. And so Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians and told them, you can't do that. When you have been released from the law by the new birth, how would you go back to the works of the flesh? Because you and I now serve the Lord, or supposedly serve the Lord, out of our spirit. That's what Paul said in Romans 1:9. Now, notice here very carefully, but after faith has come, we are no longer under guardian. What was Paul trying to establish with the providence of Galatia? Here's what he was trying to establish. That before faith, before Jesus Christ came, everyone had faith, but their faith was not in Jesus. But once Jesus appeared and left witness of God with us in the flesh, and resurrected back to glory, and now we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we're there in the mind of God with Christ. Now I want you to understand something. That if that's the case, then what was it that God left us? What measure did he leave us for our faith to establish itself? He left it in the person of Jesus Christ. That was the measure each and every one of us got, was the witness of the birth of Jesus Christ himself in the earth. For now a new faith has got a hold of us, and it's anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's anchored there. It's a faith that's not clearly defined in the Old Testament. But the faith in the Old Testament still operated just like it does in the New Testament. But here's the kicker. They didn't have the person of Jesus in the Old Testament. It was only a remnant that caught a hold of the seed that was to come. And they believed in what was coming. And the minute they believed in what was coming, they were released from the death of the law. Glory to God. That's why he says it's not that the word of God did not take of an effect in the Old Testament, for there was a remnant that did believe, but the person they believed in was future. They caught it. They got a revelation of him. Now our faith is not anchored in what is to come. Our faith is anchored in what has come. And it's Jesus Christ. That's why my faith is stronger than what is promised. It came, manifested, and left an inheritance for us to believe in. Now, we covered the fact of Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Let's go back to Hebrews 1:1. Mike, you're going to have to carry me to the airport. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us in a Son, by his Son, in a Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, through whom he also he made the worlds. And this word for worlds here is ages. You know what history is? It's his story. That's what history is, his story. And when you become a believer, history is centered around his story. Cool, huh? Now, you mean to tell me that on all of them four verses, a measure has been given to each and every one of us? Yeah. Well, how much of a measure do you get? That's what I asked the Lord. How much was my measure? He said, it was the person of Jesus. What? He said it was a person of Jesus. He said, if you want to know how your faith will anchor itself in Christ, he says, go back to what the Holy Spirit does. He gives you an understanding of the witness of the measure that was given to you in the Son. And he said, if you go back and you interpret what Jesus left as a witness, he says, your measure will grow. Because you now have a faith, a way to respond through that measure, which is Jesus Christ. You, all of us, we all started there. We have Christ, we have that measure. Do you remember now, the measure is on how you respond. The person of Jesus is how he's spoken. His witness or testimony. I'm going to tell you something. Our modern day theologians, I hate them. I hate them because what they've done is they've sown darnel into the body of Christ. Why? To root out the seed of God's word that belongs in our spirit. Thank God he's going to rid the earth of darnel. Garbage dark doctrine. What did I pronounce it? Huh? Huh? No, not Darwin. Darnell. That tear is a darnell. A tear. You know, it's a weed. I guess I'll say weed rather than darnell. Because some of you think, is that akin to darnell? Darwin? No. Did you guys get it? Darnell is spelled W-E-E-D. Weed. It was so we got a lot of people sowing weeds into us. Thank God they don't. They're not permitted to grow in our spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will say, "Don't let that weed get in here." So we understand through Hebrews here, clear through to chapter two, about a verse two of Hebrews 2:2. We understand that God spoke through types, shadows, visions, dreams. He spoke in an audible voice, mostly through angels appearing. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verses 4 through chapter 2, 1 and 2. Now, that's why he says, for if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? It was confirmed to us by those who heard him. And so I believe the writer was Paul, because he said he was not of the original 12 that walked with him. But he excelled beyond his peers when it come to Judaism, and so he knew. Now, do you know that what Paul told Timothy was this? He says, Timothy, what you need to do is to be careful that you rightly divide the word of truth. And what he was doing was telling Timothy, make sure you don't mix the Old Testament with the New. You get your understanding in the New so that you can understand why God responded the way he did in the Old. Are you following me? And so people don't understand, when God operated in the Old Testament, he had to operate with people that had that sin nature in them. And so when he would speak or when he would declare something that was of truth, their choice caused God to move into a different position, but it would not move God out of truth. And when God had to move in a different way towards man, then it affected a man's heart, how he responded back to God. And if a man's not born again, he has the sin nature dwelling in him, and God has to take a different position. Sometimes people that are not submitted to God, I'm talking about Old Testament people, then what happens is an anger got in them towards God. Now, what I'm trying to establish with you today is the measure that you and I have had before faith came. That measure was Jesus Christ. He appeared. And when you get into the four Gospels and you see how he responded to mankind on healing or whatever it was they needed, then it was always recorded to their benefit that your faith in me got your results. And that has not changed today. But the problem is you and I have too much weed speaking to us and smoking. And we don't got our heads wrapped around the right thing. I had to throw that in there. Marijuana signs all over. And you got believers going to that stuff. What the... It's medical marijuana. You know what you need? If it's called miracle marijuana, you need miracle grow from the word. You don't need a joint to sedate you. So with that thought in mind, go to 1 Corinthians. So I don't know what I'm saying half the time, but I'm just under the anointing and I'm going to say what I say. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's go to verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. In other words, God was not happy was what they chose to do against him. Now, I'm sorry, this kills Darwin theory. You can't fit Darwin into this kind of thinking. Then you'll find why he was not well pleased with them at verse 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And so, you want to read them? Let's get real negative for a minute. Now, these things became our examples. For our examples? To the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That's not a bad thing. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor murmur as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. And all is not in any text. It meant now these things happened to them as instruction, and they were written for our instruction, on whom the ends of the age has come. What does he mean, unto the end of age have come? The age of the Old Testament. Now watch this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's no temptation or trial and temptation and trial has overcome you, except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Why did he bring out all that negativity and then come up with a word that God is going to lead you out of everything you run into? Because the verses 6, 7, 8, 9, all those verses in between rob them of the ability for them to have faith in God. There are believers today doing the same thing. They're living as a Christian out of their natural life and doing things they have no business doing. And when you do that, you rob yourself of the ability to trust in God. God, I'm going to tell you, me as a believer, when I was first saved and started going to church, I thought when I went to church, I was going to be hailed as a wonderful student because I got saved and I received Jesus. And I went to church and the church was very good at telling me what I still was. Did I enjoy church? I had a hard time with church, especially the first year. Thank God for my faithful wife, Sue. She stayed in church. I got out of church. I got interested in something else. And because every time I went to church, the pastor from the pulpit always had a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge directed right at me, and it seemed like he could read my mail. And why do I want to go to church to hear what I'm still doing and still thinking? It's because when I got saved, I didn't realize I'm supposed to change. I'm not supposed to do what I used to do. Matter of fact, I finally understood what Galatians chapter 5 verse 17 meant. It said, once you get born again, your spirit will be against your body, and the body will be against your spirit. You know what that's called? Conviction. Thank God that Satan has no access to our inner man. But I don't thank God for the access he has to my outer man. The problem is, you and I are responsible for the outer man to get in line as your inner man grows against it. You guys want me to shut up? I always wondered why over there in Revelations chapter 2, well, I'd always talked about the church of Philadelphia, the one God was well pleased with, had little people in it. It said their attendance was weak. But when you get over to the church of Philadelphia, Laodicea, the place was packed out. Because their treasure was more on the outer man than the inner man. God couldn't even break their outer man to get to their inner man. He was on their door knocking. Let me into your inner man. But they had all their treasure on their outer man. That's why you can't serve the kingdom of God. And when you serve the kingdom of God through your inner man, you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I got news for you. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, the heavenly utensils of worship was purified. It wasn't he took his blood up, some minister was preaching. He took his blood up there and he had to cleanse the utensils that were dirty. How can anything dirty get into heaven? Amen. And I went and prayed in tongues for I don't know how many days on that thing. And finally God said, he didn't go into heaven with his blood and clean any utensils in heaven. His blood was shed once for all in the earth. When he resurrected to glorification and was seated at the right hand of God, as far as God was concerned, whoever was born in the earth now holds the same privilege and inheritance as he that's seated in the heavenly places, because God cleansed your temple from your outer man to what you are as a spirit inwardly. Now, every year, I take these little mini booklets of Kenneth Hagin, and I read them over and over and over. Because when you see that guy get the results he got, you got to follow his example. And you know one thing that he said? He said, you're not going to get something from God that's future. He says, our faith in Christ that has come, our faith that has come as a result of the person of Jesus is now. Now faith is. and the substance of things hoped for. He was not talking about a hope that's future. In your Greek text, that word hope there is in the aorist. Here's what an aorist tense is. Come on up here, Lonnie. I'll use you as an example. He's a good example. Stand over here, Lonnie. Now, Lonnie is...
Do I got to hold my stomach in the whole time, or can I just relax?
Yeah, hold it in a little. Yeah, suck it in a little. Okay. It makes you look like you're more in control of yourself. Anyway, here we have Christ.
Oh, thank you.
Amen. And Christ is what we call past tense. That's aorist. And when it's used in the aorist tense, it also fills into what we call the perfect tense. It means that whatever he accomplished, Jesus, in the past, it is called not aorist, but also perfect tense. It means that it will come up to where I'm presently at, and still everything that he paid for is still belongs to me, even though he is in the past. Are you ready? And what I have received through him will be good enough for what's in the future. And people, before faith came, he was talking about before Jesus was born into the earth, we did not have faith in the manifestation of the person of Jesus. All as we knew is what we had heard preached from the Word of God. But when Jesus manifested, then man's faith turned to a completely different direction. It now turned to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now man could respond in God through Jesus. And that's the measure we all got. The person of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. The person of the Lord Jesus. And our faith is now. Now faith is. That's why people come up and man, I even get anointing. I get a witness in the body. And I lay hands on them. They even feel it. And the next thing, well, how do you feel walking in your newfound healing? Oh, Pastor, yeah. I thought I got it. What do you mean you thought you got it? You bore witness that when I laid hands on you, you got it. Well, somehow it got away from me. You mean to tell me I laid my hands on you and the anointing of Christ went into you and gave you your healing? And when did it leave you? When you sat down in the pew, all of a sudden you felt something run away from you? Well, that's how most of us think. Satan knows how to come at you once you've got something from God. You think he's going to leave you alone? He's going to hit you. He's going to hit you in the body again. You want to know why? Because your body has a language of its own self. It comes from weeds sown. Darnell. Yeah, I guess Darnell sounds like a guy. Darnell comes along. But what I was referring to is weeds. But notice here he says, 1 through 12. The reason those people never really trusted him is because their life was loose. Loose as a goose. And yet God was still leading them, still showing them the way to go. He said they were all baptized. And guess what? In the Old Testament, it was still Christ in the Old Testament. That was who was following them. They didn't even know my voice. But according to Hebrews chapter 3, he says, we are the household of Christ, where faith is anchored in him. I can't stand it when I sit and talk to believers that want to sit there and go into the Old Testament. Well, you know, so-and-so in the Old Testament, before faith came. Yeah, I know what you're saying. But anyway, I said, no, wait a minute, before faith came. Did you know you had a measure of faith given to you? Well, yeah, I know the Bible says that. Well, what measure was that? Well, I don't know how much measure he gave me. I'll tell you how much measure he gave you. Oh, okay. What measure? He gave you Jesus Christ. In essence, you got the full measure, baby. But it has to grow in you. You know why a lot of Christians don't want to sit under the Word? Because they have not made Him the Lord of their life. He's only their Savior. But listen, I will go to church that will tell me how I can appease my outer man, because I don't know much about this inner thing. You want to charge yourself up? How many of you in this building, I want to see your hands. I want to see it. How many of you want to be on fire for God? Some of you didn't raise your hand. Burning, well, on fire, ablaze. How many of you know that when you touch fire, it moves you? Did you know that when the church began, it was on Pentecost, when the upper room of 120 were filled with the Holy Ghost? It said there was a little blaze of fire that shot on all top of their heads. You want to know why? It set them on fire. Do you know when you start praying a lot in tongues, you get on fire for God? You know, somebody said, well, how much should I pray in tongues and how much should I pray in English? You're better off praying a whole lot in tongues, because then when you start praying in English, you have more brains to talk with. But did you get something here today? Our measure is in the witness of Christ, and get into the four Gospels, and all the places where Christ did healing, every one of them. I'll give you a quick synopsis. I got them all listed right here. All here, right here. And not one time did he ever say, I healed you because I wanted to prove I was God. No, every one of them had need. And he said to him, as you have believed, seeing their faith, your faith has made you well. According to your faith, let it be to you. Let it be to you as you desire, if you can believe. What do you want me to do for you? I am willing. When Jesus saw their faith, that she may be healed and she will live. Your faith has made you well. Do not be afraid, only believe. Your faith has made you well. If you are willing, I am willing. When he saw their faith, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you, has saved you. Notice not one time he said, because I'm God and you got it. Every time it was how they responded to the witness of Christ. And he left us that witness because he says, now that your faith has come, what faith? In the person of Jesus. Read the four Gospels. What he said to them, the promise is all yes and amen. And if there's a promise given to you, it's yes. And you should say amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. This kind of preaching will lead us into the power of God. I don't want to be like a Jew. I don't want to stand before my Lord and him tell me, well, you had a whole lot of zeal, but you were dumb as a stump. You know, it's time the church quit losing the battles. It's time to realize that God has made a way of escape for us. And it's time, just like my son said, we need some victories. I'm going to tell you something, people. What will encourage your faith more than everything is for you to get a victory. I'm not asking you to get a big victory. Get a little one. Because a little one will help you. Just a little one. Wow. He did that for me? Well, that's not all. Try your faith again. Oh, I like Lindsay. She come to me. She said, boy, you know what really gets me is God always waits till the last moment, but he always comes through. Yes, amen. That gives you more confidence that when you get into your next trial, well, if it's down to the last moment, I need, at least you'll show up in a timely need. Your natural mind says,
you ain't seen it, you ain't got it.
Shut up, weed. I don't want to receive that weed from whoever said that. My faith came in Jesus. If Jesus was healing people during that four gospels, you know what somebody told me?
Who made that little boy blind?
He was born that way.
Which one of the kid? Which one of the family was in sin?
Remember the little boy that got, or the guy that got healed? Well, he was born that way. He made a ruckus to the Pharisees and Sadducees. They pulled him in and said, how are you a sinner could get healed? You were blind. He says, I have no idea. I was blind, but now I see. How can you get away from the results? He didn't even know who healed him. Did you guys know that when you read that story? He didn't even know who healed him. But here's how somebody interpreted that incident. But he was blind, but for the glory of God. And so they were interpreting that he was born blind so that Jesus could heal his eyes as a good witness for everybody. People, do you know how many blind people were on planet Earth in Jerusalem at the time Jesus prayed for that blind man? He didn't need to get somebody born blind to work a healing in his eyes. Are you following what I'm saying? Flesh produces after flesh, after its kind. And so he wasn't saying, don't focus on the fact that he was born blind, because nobody really sinned. But this is the opportunity for the glory of God to manifest in his healing. And so, you know what they did? Because they couldn't figure out how he got healed, they booted him out of the synagogue. Get out of here. And Jesus went to him and said, do you know who healed you? No. It was me. It was me. Now let me ask you something. Did he have faith to receive his sight? He didn't have any faith. It was just the goodness of God going and healing him. That's all. And guess what? Did he have faith after he got healed? I think so. I think so. Matter of fact, you know the guy that was laying by the pool of Bethesda? He was laying there for, 30 or 32 years? How many would give up after the first year? Comatose. And as Jesus is going on his journey, God spoke to him and says, I want you to go down by the pool of Bethesda, and a man's there. I want you to go up to him. I want you to heal him. You know what he was looking for? He was looking for somebody to throw him into the pool when the angels troubled the water. It was purely God's grace for the afflicted. That's all. And can you imagine after 32 years of that, how many people got healed and he still laid there? I said, Lord, how come he laid there all that time? He says, because he did not want to miss somebody putting him in that water. Nobody put him in that water. And God came down. And he said, take up your bed and walk. Amen. And he did. Did you know he was the only one Jesus went looking for after he was healed? And he went up to him and he said, listen, you don't commit another sin or a worse thing will come on you. That guy who could not move for 32 years, when he was healed, began to walk on planet Earth without laying next to a pool, healed, and body parts begin to function. You're going to have to use the rest of your imagination on that one. So Jesus had to go to him and said, listen, don't go back into sin. And you know what that robs us more than anything else is people entertaining the life of sin. It's an abomination to the Lord. You know, somebody said, well, Pastor, now that you've arrived, I said, when did you say I've arrived? Have you talked to Sue? She knows the carnal side to me. I mean, so much so that whenever I get into fear, she just rolls her eyes back in head with no sympathy. Oh, come on, Pastor Jan. She's a good helpmate. Best there is. I love her a lot. Love you, honey, a lot. Been faithful to me all these years. But I'm going to tell you something. We can grow to the point where we love God passionately, where we can be on fire for Him, and where we can please Him. They couldn't please Him because of their lifestyle. And then we want to know why believers don't get healed. What's your lifestyle like? I'm not going to sit up here and preach on a particular sin. All of it works to our disadvantage. But God always works for your advantage. He does it even for your loved ones that don't even walk with God. God wants you to lay down a prayer life for them of what you expect out of them and thank Him. That's a prayer of thanksgiving. Be thankful that He's going to answer that. Your children now, we got a lot of grandbabies around here that I love so much, you know, from both families. Well, everybody's interrelated to me anymore here. But anyway, But what you should do is for each child, you should lay out on paper, draw out, put scripture on it and everything of what you expect in their natural life and remind God occasionally, not all the time, but remind them occasionally, my child here and my child here and my child here. Pray over them. Even when they're asleep at night, pray over them. Go to their place. That's what I do with little Lindsay when she was laying in her little crib and I was looking at her one day and I said, Lord, she can't communicate with me and everything, but I would lay my hands on her. I said, Lord, may she always have a heart for you. I'm proud of her because she has a heart for the Lord. She walks in a lot of wisdom. She calls me for advice, and I'm sitting there. The advice she needs is coming out of her mouth. I told her, I said, well, Lenny, why are you telling me that? What you're saying is right on. What, do you want me to give the same thing to you that you're saying? You know, a lot of times we don't realize how much God can grow in our heart for the wisdom that we need. What about our children? They deserve our prayer. They deserve a positive prayer. Oh, if they keep going the way they're going straight to hell. You know what you're saying? Sure, what they're doing qualifies straight to hell. But you got to overlook that and say, God, this is what I expect. And you know what? When you get there, I never will forget one man said, when you get there, may the chain not be broken. May it be unbroken. There was a song like that. I loved it. Well, did you guys get something out of today? Stand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about ready to close the service. And Father, if there be anybody here that has never received you as your Lord and Savior, Father, we would love to pray with them. Because there's nothing like having Jesus in our life. Now, once we've received Him, we have a measure that we can work with and grow with. And that measure is in Jesus. We read the scriptures that says it. And so, Father, if they've never known you and want to receive you, we're open to it. And Father, if there are any brother or sister here that has been born again, but they've caused themselves not to grow, they've gotten into that place where they've fallen asleep in you, we would like to lay hands on them and pray a fire would get back in them. And if somebody here is in a lot of pain and wants to be released from it, Father, we can lay hands on the sick. And according to their faith, they can be healed if they just receive it from you. So if any one of those areas fits you, feel free to step out right now and come forward. We won't do anything to embarrass you. But if you need prayer for anything, come on up here right now of what I mentioned. Salvation, restoration, or the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Okay, we're going into the miracle business. We're going back to where we should have been all along. Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. May they have grace on me and Mike to get out of here, and may they be blessed. Amen. God bless you all.